Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I am somewhat of a nostalgic historian. On November 30th, each time this coming November 30th, I will say, 49 years ago today, I bought a sweater at Naval Exchange in Alameda, California. And next month, on December 11th, I will say, 49 years ago today, I received my Navy wings. This week, there have been three such examples of times when I said some number of years ago something happened. This last Tuesday, I said, 50 years ago today, I was sworn into the Navy. I remember that because on the way down to the airport, there was a song on the radio called "I'm Leaving on a Jet Plane." Thursday was the sixth anniversary of my retirement from chiropractic. I remember that because I carried all of my personal possessions off my desk, put them out in the back of my pickup. It was a big deal to me, and the rest of the staff barely said, "See ya." I remember that. I said there were three. There's one more date that I remember some time ago. Exactly 6 years ago today, I stood here before you as your new shepherd. Vacancy shepherd, they said. See how that went. In keeping with that idea of nostalgic history, I thought it would be interesting to go back and read that first sermon that I preached to you. And I'm glad I did. In that sermon, I tried to introduce myself. I tried to make you feel at ease. And I was trying to develop a sense of unity among the entire congregation, me included. And I didn't start with the normal grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father that I usually start with. I rather started, and I don't know where I got this idea, perhaps the Holy Spirit was upon me. Rather, I started with a message from Romans 1, verse 7. Paul says, "To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you who are the saints of God and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior." And then I followed that with this statement. "Therefore, today I say to you at Emmanuel Lutheran who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you who are saints of God and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen." Then I told a humorous story. I don't know what you were expecting, but apparently it was not a humorous story because I don't think anyone even cracked a smile. I continued, "It's All Saints Day, and this is my first Sunday here with you as your shepherd. I'm going to try to cover both topics today, and that's a lot to cover, and so I promise I'll have you out of here by 12:30, 1 o'clock at the latest." At least there were a couple chuckles for that one. On that Sunday, I tried to answer three questions. The first question was, who are you? The second question is, who am I? And the third question is, who are we? In answer to that first question, who are you, I described you with these words. You're members of a church known as the Mother Church of the Central Valley. You're a group of Christians who worship and praise God here each week. You are people who have the same struggles and the same problems in the world as anyone else. I knew at that time there'd been some hurts and some pain, and I didn't know what they were. But I said, you are now people of God who confess your faith each Sunday and bless each other. And then I went on to try to answer the question, who am I? And I summarized my childhood and my youth. I warned you, that I tend to be rather formal, but I promise to try to loosen up. And I also warned you that my serious nature gives me kind of a furrowed brow, and I encouraged you not to interpret that as anger. And then I went on and I talked about being in the Navy and my leading my first worship, about graduating from chiropractic school and being commissioned as a licensed deacon just 5 months before that time. As I read that sermon and thought about what I said, I really wondered what kind of things people were saying before I got here. What would it be like to be led by a licensed deacon? And then I tried to answer that final question. Now that I'm here, now that we are a congregation, who are we? And we can ask that same question today. I answered that question then, and I answer it now with the epistle lesson that we heard from today from 1 John, where he discusses the text of God's love. In that text, I kind of took it phrase by phrase. We are loved by God, we are God's children, and that as his children, we have that hope of eternal life. He starts out saying, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. God created us in his image. He loves us all, you and me. He loves us in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our brokenness, in spite of our human nature, in spite of all of our sinfulness. God still loves us and still forgives us. In fact, he loved us so much that he could see we were on the wrong path. And so to fix that problem, he sent his own son into this world to die on the cross that we might survive this broken world and Satan's lies and deceits. And then Paul goes on, and I'll read that first phrase again. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. We are God's children. In our baptism, he adopted us. He made us his children. Unlike humans, God doesn't have grandchildren. He has only children, daughters, and saints who believe in him. That word saint is used more than 60 times in the New Testament. And in the Apostles' Creed, we say we believe in the communion of saints. Hebrews refers to that cloud of witnesses that describes all believers of all time. And all those who gather to confess Jesus as Lord are already saints. And then Paul kind of shifts gears a little bit. He's been talking about how God loves us and how we're saints. And then he says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Jesus either. Today, perhaps even more so than 6 years ago, the world does not know Christ. When Jesus came to earth, he was not recognized or accepted as the Son of God. And today, Christianity is being marginalized more and more. Today, for many, being a child of God is just not considered to be important. But then Paul continues with some words of encouragement. He says, beloved, we are God's children now. In our baptism, the Holy Spirit was placed in us. In our baptism, we were made heirs to his eternal kingdom. In our baptism, we were made God's children. And as such, we are his saints. We are saints right now. We will be saints tomorrow and next year, and even until we receive the eternal kingdom. And then Paul goes on with even more encouragement. He says, while we are saints now, it's going to get even better. He says, and what we will be has not yet appeared. He's talking about the new heavenly bodies that we will receive after that day of judgment. Bodies that will be without pain, without aches, without diseases, There won't be any walkers. There won't be any canes. There won't be any limping. And all our joints will be original equipment. We will all appear strong and healthy. That's how we're going to look with those new heavenly bodies on that final day. Just 6 years ago, I asked you to think about how this church would appear in 5 or 6 years. And I asked, how could we be a blessing to each other and to the community? Back then, we didn't know what we would look like today. Some even doubted whether or not we'd actually be around today from 6 years ago. So today I ask you that same question. What will we look like in another 6 years? I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know what Paul concludes his text with. He says, "Everyone who thus hopes in him, who hopes in Christ Jesus, purifies himself just as Christ is pure." Christians often speak of hope. It's not hope like, I hope it doesn't rain or I hope it doesn't snow for our party or our picnic. It's more like, I hope it doesn't get too dark too soon. You see, we know it's going to get dark tonight. The question is, how soon will it get dark? We anticipate that night will come. We have the expectation that it will come. We are confident that tonight will come. And I went on and talked about how we would pray together and learn together and cry together. And I think we have done that. I said we will continue to be a community church who worship together, who sing praises together, who share our hurts and joys together. And I said I will continue to pray for you, and I hope that you will continue to pray for me as well. Today at the Lord's table, Christ binds us together with the communion of saints. All of those witnesses, that cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. If you look at that communion rail behind me and imagine it continuing out the walls and around in a great circle, you can see around that great circle of a communion rail all of the cloud of witnesses, all of the saints who have gone before us. At the very far side are Abraham and Moses. And there's the disciples there as well, along with John the Baptist. And somewhere farther along the sides are Martin Luther and the other founders of the Reformation. And then if you look carefully, if you look in the New Saints section, you will see some familiar faces who have passed in the last year, some names who we will speak during the prayer of the church. And so I ask once again, who are we now? We are now the same group of people that we were 6 years ago. We are both sinners and saints. We are people who say, Lord, I believe, forgive my unbelief. We are part of that cloud of witnesses who attest to God's love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. We are the saints at Emmanuel. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.